man. Thank you, sir. When we talk about wonderful things such as the way to prove things, how do we go about proving something to be so? We know enough about it to investigate and to have perhaps a meter reader in our hand when we work with electricity to prove that that is a socket that's off, that it's not going to shock us, it's not going to bring back hurt and harm to us because of our work on trying to tighten it up a little bit. Do things like that. We got a way in which we find ourselves protected by proving it by way of a meter that tells us the rate of the speed of the electricity that's coming that direction, where it stops, where it ends, and that's the way we do. What do we find that in the Bible? Where do we find the idea proving all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and hold fast what is good? Where do we find ourselves testing things out to be sure? Do we get into the middle of it and say, oh no, this is not a good thing to be doing, or be deceived by the thing thinking that it is a good thing to do? And we find ourselves adrift from God because we find ourselves stealing where we ought not to have stole. We find ourselves doing deeds we ought not to do. We find ourselves in wickedness that is not proper and right. And we find at that point in time that we look to ourselves and say, why didn't I know better? Instead of investigating it by way of our own practice in life, the Scripture affirms to you and me again and again that the Word of God is the way to go about the way. It's the meter, if you will, to tell us that we're doing the right thing versus we're going the wrong direction. The Word of God for a servant of God is an important matter because we find ourselves being the people that God would have us to be in every good and godly way. Because we find where Lord Jesus said, the word that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. And he says, in fact, to this matter, that my word that I teach to you, you're to follow. And if you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that will judge you. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. The idea was that there's one up there who knows that word, who uses that word, and it will judge us by that word in the last day. But the practice of that word is what we were to do in life. Because we rejected him, we also rejected his word. And the one that judges us will judge us according to his word in the last day. When we talk about that kind of way of life, we're talking about a way of life of which Jesus talked to the people of his disciples as well as to anyone else who would listen in the generation in which he was here on this earth. And in John 12, when we read there 48 and 49, we read regarding those words that Jesus spoke that will be serious judgment at the last day. The Word of God is that always been affirmed to be the way in which God wanted to direct people. Take David's words in Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is it? It's a lamp that helps us to see the things over which we would stumble otherwise. And it's a light to our path. Seeing down that path, we see that there's an end to that path. There's a field out there that's muddy and drifting and everything, and we're going to get stuck if we get into that. We find ourselves seeing far ahead by the light that's not the best travel to make. That's not the best direction to go. And because of that, the Word of God being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, we have guidance throughout life that way. It is noted to you and me in Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word, O Lord, giveth light. Not only do we have the light-giving source you mentioned in this passage, whether it's a lamp or a light that said earlier in verse 105 to be used, but we have the source of that light that comes. It is the source of light that comes in thy word, giveth light. that light is that which we see, and we can see by something up close and see our stumbling about, seeing at a distance the danger that's up ahead, and guard ourselves. As you go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 13, you read of in regard to a man who is a wise man, who foreseeth danger up ahead. And what does he do? He guards himself. Doesn't continue that path. Doesn't continue to go down that way. There is something else to be involved in decision making, that we prove things to be the right way to go, the right thing to say, the right thing to do. And as we do that, we are happy and more privileged to say that we're thrilled in life to lead that way, because that is what we read. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, it is said regarding the people of the Lord, he says, the people have prophets who prophesy falsely. And my people, the Lord said, love to have it so. He went on to note in this regard in Jeremiah 5 at 31 that whatever it is that we have that we're following on that's going to be wrong, it will not do in the end. At the end of that travel, at the end of that event, Jeremiah said that way is not the way to go. He will be bringing one to bring up Sodom and Gomorrah and talk about the wonderful mercy and compassion of God. And he'll say, had it not been for his mercy, had it not been for his compassion, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. We would have been done away with. We would have been burned up. We would have been people who were not here no longer. Because that's the way that God intended for us to live. No, because that's the way God intended for us not to live. Not to behave. And we know that by looking at his word and reading about his word in the way in which we go in life. Isaiah said in Isaiah 9 and in verse 1 that Israel walketh in darkness. And he went on to describe that darkness, a darkness of people around them, a darkness of people that they were with. If they found themselves involved with the wickedness of people's lives, and justifying that wickedness, it was because they were in darkness. They did not have the light of God's word. They did not have the light to guide and direct their steps. They did not have that light. They were not conscious of that need for that light. And Isaiah is saying that as they walk in darkness, that's the way of life. In Judges chapter 1, verses 28 through 35. There it is noted regarding the people of Israel that they had walked in the ways of those people who were around them. The nations that were around them had a too heavy an influence upon the people of Judah and Naphtali and Dan and so forth, of the people of God. They had allowed the people in the tribes and the nations around them to be a great influence upon them, and that influence caused them to be away from God. Why did they prove? How were they able to prove the things that were right? Well, they were able to prove the things that were right by way of the word of God. If they listened to God, listened to God's director in Moses and Aaron and others, they would find themselves being the people that God would have them to be. When we go back to the Old Testament of the Bible, we go over the words of Paul. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We have a patience that's in the Scripture there, by which we will go if we read there and we find the ways of life that they're doing. Do we find anybody back there that was a part of telling falsehoods to others, and therefore they got away with it? Or do we find that that's a way to avoid? That's a way that in our proving, we cannot prove that to be the right and good path to go. That is a dangerous path to go. Telling falsehoods and living by that falsehood way of life. Well, we find in the Bible people who like that as we listen to the Old Testament of our Bibles. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. Do we learn from that? Do we learn from the things that we read? when Jesus there referred to back to Lot's wife, why did he refer back to Lot's wife? Because she had done something in regard to escaping out of that realm of Sodom and Gomorrah. She had done something that she did not need to do. We can prove ourselves to be people who pursue a way of life on beyond that way of life if we will remember Lot's wife. We'll find ourselves being the people who ought to honor and behave God's way. You know, we think about this, we think about what the Bible says about proving all things and holding fast what is good. And we see the way that he wanted us to prove it. We see the light that he wanted us to have as we go about life to prove that that way is a valid way to walk and a way to do. We find ourselves following God's will and God's way by his word. And as a result of that word, we can be guided. By the examples of the prophets of old, we can see the things that are right and the things that are not good to do. Do we see someone over there in the Old Testament, the Bible, who's living in a very wicked, worldly kind of way? And we see the result of that life. We see the idea that God opposed that way of life. If I today, in this dispensation of time, if I find myself honoring that way of life and rewarding myself with that way of life and being as worldly as they were, will I find any better result from it? Or will I find that sadly at the end of this time, as it would be noted to you and me in Jeremiah's words, the end of thereof is not going to be a good thing. What do we have yet coming up ahead that our proving will be benefit to our life? The New Testament of the Bible has Paul speaking directly, Simon Peter speaking directly, John speaking directly. All of these servants of the Lord Jesus Christ were speaking about a time in which the judgment of God would occur. We in the church have utilized the passage in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And in reference to the way of life that we will face someday at the judgment of God. The judgment of God is mentioned by John in 1 John 5. In reference to how we live and how we behave, that judgment of God will be against those who have done those things that are not proper and not approved of his word. When we're in the fellowship of reading in 2 John 1 at 9, when we're in the fellowship of the Father and the Son and we find ourselves in that blessing, do we find ourselves leaving the ways of God and going in the ways of the world? Or do we find ourselves honoring a way of joy and thankfulness that when I get off base and when I get off of words and when I get off mannerisms of life that are not right, I can call upon God immediately or thereby to forgive me and to recognize me and to give me the strength to remember that this is not the way to talk, this is not the way to do, this is not the way to behave. By proving all things and holding fast what's good, I'll be a proof at the judgment day when these things will be judged according to the things written in the books. When John wrote in Revelation 20 and at verse 12 through 14, he wrote regarding that word of God written in those books that will judge us in the last day. Sometimes we know things in the book. Sometimes we don't know things in the book. How will our way of life be according to that way that we have learned and seen in his word? Would it be a way of life that honored it, said you honored that way of life? You recognize what happened back there to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You recognize what happened to those people in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And as a result, you did not choose to follow those things and those ways of life. It'd be a much better way of life to prove things and hold fast what's good in our day and time, all the way to the time in which we face it at the judgment day. Thanks for your listening and study with us, and thank you for those on the internet who are listening and studying with us these particular matters. When we do a way of salvation in life, do we do a way that is commonly taught to us? By radio and television, we hear today about a sinner's prayer that you can say and you can be close to God. You can be forgiven of God. You can be right with the Lord. Where do we find the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 being told, pray these words? Or were they told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Do we find in the New Testament example of Paul, a wonderful servant of the Lord? Do we find him on the road to Damascus enjoying a way of life? Oh yes, he was set upon hurting those who were following after Jesus. But in Acts 9, what do we read? Well, the Lord stopped him on that road. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't argue with the Lord. He knew better than do that. He recognized that what he had been doing to those servants of the Lord was doing it to the Lord also. As a result of that, what would thou have me to do, Lord? Whereupon he's told, you've been doing this thing the right, say these few words, and you'll be right with me. Or whether he rather told, can I prove that that's what he was told? No, I cannot. Can I prove that the Lord said to him, go in the city, and there you'll be told what you must do? In the city, when he went into the city in Acts 22, Ananias, the gospel preacher, came to him, recognized a pitiful man, a man down on his knees in prayer, a man who found himself in remorse. And he says, Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. In so doing, you'll call upon the name of the Lord. You do this and you'll be new. Paul wrote about that in Romans 6 and say, when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were buried with him by baptism into his death. He and the brethren at Rome did the same sort of things. To be saved from sin. We were buried with him, and we were raised to walk in newness of life. Trying to hurt somebody and harm somebody, to believe in a way of life that we neither read about nor we see anybody practicing in the New Testament of our Bible, to gain the salvation that they can gain from sin, we don't see that being practiced at all. Not a single time. We find where a man who's already in fellowship with the Lord in Acts chapter 8, named Simon, was a man who told, repent and pray that the Lord forgive you. He was already a baptized believer. He was already in the Lord, already in fellowship with him. And he wanted this gift of the power of the apostleship to buy. Thy heart is not right with God. Could he prove that that way was the way he ought to continue to go? No, he could not. And Simon Peter says to him, repent and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. This man was a man who was much like, unlike others of our day and time, who've heard the message over and over again and still will not say, oh, I have messed up, I have messed up, I have messed up. He was a man who said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me. He didn't want any of that to happen. Now, to our many friends listening on the internet, these are the words regarding salvation from sin and maintaining that salvation as we go through life. They're not the words that you can't find of a sinner's prayer in the Bible. They're not those words. Would you check it out? Would you go to your scripture and find and check it out? When we find this to be done, we find a new way of life that we can be raised to walk that new way of life. And in that new way of life, we'll end up proving all things and holding that which is good. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, as we stand to sing this song together tonight, would you come to Him and obey Him as we stand to sing?
What can make Savior? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I don't think anyone's here tonight that was not here already to take the Lord's Supper this morning. That's a good sign of it. Good to see y'all tonight. God bless you. And don't forget Saturday evening at the Osborne and our holiday. What do they call it? Dirty Santa? Game. Yeah. This feels now like a
there's a word for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling in the heart, is calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for work or shame. There's a and you can win if you go in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come before you again to thank you for this day and for the privilege we've had to assemble to worship you. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us, not only on this day, but even throughout last week, and Father, we thank you so much for it. Father, we pray for those again that are sick. We pray for those that need your help in regaining their normal walk in this life. And we pray, Father, that they're blessed, that you bless them in such a way that they can begin better. Thank you, Father, for the lessons that we've heard today. Help us, Father, always to look to your word for the truth. Father, help us always to seek to know exactly what it means and how to use it in our lives. Help us, Father, to be able to teach those around about us that don't know your word, don't know the truth, and Father, give us the wisdom to help them to understand it better. Father, we so grateful for all the things that you do for us. But the spiritual things that we have in this life, Father, they all come through you. Thank you so much for your Son who came up to the earth and taught us the things that you have us to know and to die on that cross. May we be like him every day. Watch over us this week, Father. Help us to have a successful week. Father, we pray that we will do your will and that we will glorify you by living a life like you would have us to live. Watch over and care for us. Forgive us of our sins.